friends. Welcome to another episode of the Long Distance Friends podcast. My name is Liv.
I use this room that I record in. I call it the home studio, but I also use it as an office. And I put an Alexa show, right? So like one of the little Alexas that like, you know, like it has a screen and you can FaceTime people with it and whatever. When I set it up, it was like, what do you want your screensaver to be? And I was like, oh, just pull from my photos. I uploaded my nudes to the cloud, apparently, and I fully just So welcome to studio. Wow, what a week. Okay, so updates from previous episode. I recorded that, and 2 days later, my mom reached out to me, and I was like, ooh. She didn't apologize, and I did note that. But she, you know, called me to give me some updates about a family member and was like, so what's going on with you? And I realized, you know, I felt that like little girl who lives inside of me, who still exists, who, you know, wanted to be like, oh my gosh, I'm dating someone and work is going great and all of these things, or, hey, I'm struggling and all that. But I was like, I don't feel like I know you well enough to do that. You know, like you aren't consistent enough in my life to get that level of access to me and to who I am and what my experience is. And so that was kind of hard. And she was like, well, you seem kind of distant. And I was like, yeah, the last time you spoke to me, you said that you wanted nothing to do with me. Specifically, you said, I no longer wish to be in your life, but I wish you nothing but the best. And she was like, oh, you know, that was my crazy. And I was like, that wasn't an apology. You know, like, and then it ended with like, okay, well, you call me back. Like, you call me later. And I was like, I'm not going to do that. Like, you're the parent. You should be the one who reaches out, right? Like, we haven't built this like parent-child relationship that like I as a child go to you, right? Like, I don't have that with my dad either. The only time I call him is like something's wrong with my car, genuinely. Things like that. So yeah, that was a little awkward. I'm going to be covered in welts tomorrow. I can already feel them starting to form. That's amazing. Let me tell you about today. Today is Mother's Day. And I, like the big girl that I am, did text my mom and say, I hope you have a nice Mother's Day, right? I did wish a happy Mother's Day. Went on the most fun date Saturday night. And on Saturday night. So more updates to last week, right? The guy that I am seeing, I can officially say that I'm dating, right? So exciting. So let me explain it. So we decided to go on a date. He took me to this like cute little putt-putt place that like each hole is like a different game. And it was so much fun, right? I had the best time ever. Side note. Okay. You ready? So earlier in the day, he had texted me and was like, hey, I referred to you as my girlfriend to one of my buddies. And I was like, okay. And I was like, so this can go one of two ways, because I have already planned that 2 weeks from now, we're going to be going to hang out with a friend of mine. And I'm going to say to him, hey, how do you want me to introduce you? Like, do you want me to say this is my boyfriend? Or do you want me to say this is the guy that I'm seeing? Like, two different things. This is the guy I'm going on dates with, or this is my boyfriend, right? So I was not going to be like, I wanted to ask you that. Like, I wanted to know, because that's how I am. And so my response to him being like, is that okay? I was like, yeah, like, I thought we already were doing that. And he was like, oh, okay, yeah. And we were at the golf place and he brought it up. And I was like, yeah, I mean, here was my actual plan, because I have no chill. When people have looked at me, I don't think anyone has ever said, she is so chill. Okay. Not once, ever. Probably in a million years. Right. So funny. So that happened. And then while we were there, he was like, well, he had talked about wanting to do something on Sunday as well. And I was like, I would love to do something on Sunday, but like, I am the type of person who likes to have plans well in advance. Like, I like to know what is going on. It gives me time to like get an outfit. It gives me time to like really put in full-time effort into whatever the event slash occasion is. And so he had previously told me that he was doing something with his family for Mother's Day after church. And I was like, okay, like have fun with that. Cause that was my thing, was he was like, let's do something on Sunday. And I was like, it is Mother's Day, so I don't think we're going to do anything. And he was like, well, I'm doing this thing with the family. And I was like, he's not going to invite me to do this and like go with his family. But also I feel like there's a chance that he does, right? I feel like there's a smidgen of a chance. And I was talking to somebody about it, cause I was like, I feel nervous about it, but also like excited. Cause like, obviously, you know, you look forward to meeting someone's parents and someone's family, and that's exciting, right? But there's also like a little bit of a level of like fear of like, oh, it's like serious, right? And I was like, he's not gonna do this on Mother's Day. If I had a nickel for every time a guy introduced me to his family on Mother's Day, I'd have 2 nickels, which isn't a lot, but it's weird that it's happened twice. The first time, I didn't know it was Mother's Day. I didn't know it was Mother's Day. I just showed up and they were like, we're so glad that you could spend Mother's Day with us. And I was like, yeah, that's crazy. And his family told me they loved me that first time. And like in the moment, I remember it like being weird, but I also was like, oh, I have like a shitty family, so this feels nice. And then like very quickly after, I was like, oh, they don't know me. Like they don't know me at all. So it's really weird that these people are like, I love you. You don't know who I am. Don't tell me you love me if you don't know me, right? That's gross. That's weird. That's an ick. If you're going to tell me you love me, I want to know that you know me inside. Like, I want to know that you know the deep, dark, twisty parts of me too. I don't want you to just love sunshine and bubbles me, right? I also want you to love dark, twisty, sad girl me. Anywho, so this one, you know, at this point, we've been dating for a little over a month, right? And things have been moving at a really appropriate pace and like really comfortably. And I just like I feel really good about it. You know, like I don't feel anxious about it. I feel like it's moving at a pace that allows me to not get in my head and feel anxious and all of these things. And I think one of the biggest factors of that is like, I told him really early on that like, hey, I don't plan on having sex with you. And this is something that I've talked about, of like the no kissing for 3 months dating rule. I want to smooch, but I'm not about having sex, right? Like if I'm going to get to that level of intimacy with a person, like I want to make sure that I know this person. I want to make sure that I trust this person. I want to make sure that this person cares about me, right? And I told him that and he was like, okay, that's fine. And I was like, okay, like I've heard that before. And then suddenly someone is rubbing their raw dick on me and is like, let me just slip it in. And I'm like, okay. And I will never do that again. And like, I look back at that guy and I'm like, I think that guy was a fucking piece of shit in retrospect. Like, what a shitty person, right? But that's part of the thing that happens is it's like, you know, you get people that test your boundaries, and I've gotten to a point where I think I'm a lot better about standing really firm in my boundaries and being like, no, this is my limit. Like, hey, no, it stops here. Okay. Like there's a brick wall that, you know, eventually you're going to get to cross. And that's my thing is I'm like, I know what the date is that like, okay, that is my green light date of not, okay, on that day, we're going to be having sex. But on that day, I'm able to look at you and go, you held your promise, right? You said, I'm going to wait. Okay. Like I have no problem waiting for you if that's what you want. And also it's, I think, confirmation to me that like this person wants me for more than just my body. Because I think a lot of women that are my age have experienced this of like, people just want you because they want to fuck you. And like women are guilty of it. Like, you know, I've probably done it. And I'm going to be honest, I have done it and I feel guilty about it. I don't like that I did that. It made me feel like a shitty person. And I'm going to quote this fucking book again, but Nick Viall's Don't Text Your Ex Happy Birthday, you know, where he's talking about like, everyone is a fuckboy until you find the person where you're like, oh my God, right? And I look back at it and I'm like, I've been a fuckboy. And like, I was aware that I was a fuckboy. I was aware that I was doing fuckboyish things. And I think that like 3-4 months ago, I kind of hit a point where I was like, I don't want that, right? You know, I want love. I want marriage. I want, you know, a partner for life. Who doesn't want that? And having to like really take a look at myself and being like, okay, I had my like villain years, right? Where I was a menace and I would say shit too soon in order to like, whatever. I wasn't holding my own boundaries. And I think I like catfished it in retrospect, because I look back at it and I think I genuinely did want like the magical prince charming perfect person, but like I wasn't matured enough for it at that time. And so I was like, I know how things are supposed to go. And it just, in the spur of the moment, I'm going to say this thing. And then it didn't work out because it wasn't genuine, you know? So I'm like, I'm going to say what I feel when I feel it. I'm going to do as I say, as I've said it, right? I'm going to hold my boundaries, but I'm also going to be really mindful with it of like, am I doing this to get a response, or am I doing this because it's right for me and it's right for, you know, the moment and the person and the experience. So the date was great. We had so much fun. Can officially call him my boyfriend. Slay. His family was very kind, very courteous. I met everybody, and I met more than everybody, honestly. And it was really nice. It was just kind of like a family barbecue. This is what I wore. I also had a little tennis necklace, right? Some bougie. Let me tell you about this. So it's Mother's Day and it's last minute that I'm invited to this event. And I probably should have thought about this fucking ahead of time, right? But I ended up deciding, like, I'm not going to show up empty handed. So I was raised, you know, I'll applaud my parents for this, of like, I was raised with like very intricate manners, right? And, you know, I sometimes look at it and I'm like, this is so extra, but also they raised me to make really good first impressions. So I showed up, right? I'm in a black tennis dress. It's super cute, right? I have like little gold stud earrings that are my favorites. They're my mommy's. So my mommy was with me. I also have a little diamond stud in my second hole in my right ear. Also my mother's. Thank you to my mother, my dead one, not the alive one. There's a difference. The dead one gives me all her jewelry because she's dead. The alive one keeps her jewelry because she's alive. Anyways, and I wore this gorgeous tennis necklace. It was emeralds and diamonds, like back and forth. So gorgeous. Because of the accessories, I was like, slightly overdressed, which is what I was going for, because I was raised with parents that were like, you should always be overdressed. Like, you should be the most overdressed person in the room because you don't want to be the underdressed person. So I, right, like a normal fucking human being, the minute he said, you're invited to this family cookout, I'm like, what is the attire? I know that the only thing that I can control is my clothing. So what's the vibe? And he was like, casual. And I was like, right, like a t-shirt and shorts. Okay. He called his sister and was like, can you tell her what you're wearing? And she was like, I'm wearing jean shorts and a shirt. Like, it's casual, but like cute casual. And I was like, thank you. I needed a girl to answer this because God love him. Trail Mix is such a cutie patootie. He cleans up so nice, but he goes everywhere in literal hiking shoes with ankle high socks and whatever shorts he can find, like basketball shorts, khakis, doesn't matter. And like crazy printed long sleeve, like sporty activity long sleeve shirts and like baseball cap. I think he's the hottest person in the whole wide world. I could stare at him forever. He could wear like, he wears the craziest shit. And I'm like, and no one can tell me that he's not the most attractive person in the fucking world. Not a fucking person, right? But when you say casual and you dress like that, I don't know how to equate that to my closet. Cause like I picked out this like really cute sundress that I have that I was like, I could wear this. So glad I didn't wear it because I would have been way, 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 way too overdressed. Cause here's my thing. I don't want to be too overdressed, just enough, right? There's a difference. So I ended up washing my jean shorts this morning and they were like still damp. So I was like, I got to find something else. And the shirt that I had picked out, I was like, this is probably not a great idea because it was like a cropped shirt. And one of my sisters, I had texted about it. She was like, I wouldn't do it. Like I wore a bodysuit the first time I met my husband's family and it like was low cut and they still bring it up. So like dress moderately conservative. And I was like, perfect. And I am a tennis dress girly. I love Toots is in the studio. Sorry for that interruption. But as we do, I think I've said that at least once on every single episode. So I wear this black tennis dress. So cute. So gorge. Right? Perfect. I zhuzh it up with the jewels, the gold, the shiny stuff. I show up. Almost everybody is in dresses. So I appreciate that lesson of growing up. I also was taught you never show up somewhere empty-handed. It is your first time meeting these people. You don't show up empty-handed. You bring something. You bring a bottle of wine, a candle, or flowers. It was Mother's Day. The appropriate options were candle or flowers. Okay. You always, always, always bring something. So I, like the bougie bitch that I am, which like I've told him, I was like, I am bougie. I know that I'm bougie, but I'm like subtly bougie where I'm like kind of a frugal bitch on most things. And then I'm like, you know, I want to stay in the Palace of Versailles and all of these things. So I look up a florist because I was like, I'm not going to go get grocery store flowers. Like I want to do better than that. Like I actually like this guy. Things are actually going really well. And like, I've never wanted to really make a good impression on someone's family the way that I feel the desire to make a good impression on these people. And like, I think about the fact that I've met people's families before and like, I had never felt as nervous as I did for this guy's family. Like I almost threw up. I was so nervous. I was like, I don't want to fuck this up because I care. And like, what an applaud of like, oh my God, I care. I care big. Like, I really think this could go somewhere. And I want to make sure that like, you know, I want the buy-in. I want to make sure that like, if this person's family is important to them, I want to make sure that they get to see the authentic, true me. But I also don't want them to like, be like, oh, she's a slob kebab. Right. So obviously I had to get nicer flowers because I feel like that better shows who I am as a person. Like the type of gift that you give also shows who you are. Like, I don't know you. So it's hard for me. Like I asked him, I was like, what is your mom's favorite flowers? I don't know. It's like amazing. So I got an arrangement and I wanted to get a bouquet that was wrapped in paper with a bow and they had it at the florist that I went to. But here's the thing. I walked in and at first I was like, they have peonies. How could I say no? Like I just... There was that part of me that wanted to grab them. And I was like, you know, I think maybe she would appreciate this. They were $150 for a vase of peonies. It was insane. So I did not get them. Instead, I got the wrapped in paper. It was a lot of like greenery and white flowers. There was chrysanthemums, roses, all sorts of different little things. And I was like, it's beautiful. It's gorgeous. Like, this is something that I feel proud to present to the family, the mother of the person who I'm dating, right? Like, hello, have you seen The Bachelor? When The Bachelor goes to the hometowns, he always brings the family flowers, right? Like that's a thing that you do. And I stand by that. So I brought it. She was like, these are gorgeous. And I was like, oh, thank you. Like, of course, like happy Mother's Day. So exciting, all the things. She like put them in a vase, put them on the table that we were eating at. Somebody was like, these flowers are nice. She was like, thank you. Olivia brought them. And they were like, oh, that's interesting. And I was like, yeah, I did. Right. They were the most expensive flowers I've ever bought in my entire fucking life. Right. A bouquet of flowers. They were $42. And like, here's the thing. I get that somebody's going to listen to that and they're going to be like, that's nothing. I have historically bought the like $3 bunch of flowers and just made my own arrangements, right? So like, I've never paid more than probably $10 for flowers total. So that was an investment for me. And like, the way that I look at it was like, yeah, if I'm putting my best foot forward, like, why wouldn't I also, like, money is energy. I'm putting energy that I care into this, you know? So I'm developing. It was fun. It was great. I think it went well. They didn't interrogate me, which I thought was interesting. kind of good. They also didn't like shove down my throat like everything about their child. It was just like, hey, like you're just here. Like just hang out and like do your thing, whatever. And I followed him around like a puppy for a little bit because I was like, I don't know what to do. And, you know, got asked like, oh, what are your hobbies? And I was like, I don't know. And I got asked that right out the gate. And I was like, I want to throw up. Honestly, I'm so nervous right now. And you're asking me what I do for fun. And I said bird watching, which is true. I love like observing nature and just like at, you know, I have a bird feeder in my backyard and I like to keep track of the birds that come to the bird feeder. I have a lot of fun with it. But as a 24-year-old woman standing in someone's home and being like, I like to watch the birds. I work on my house. Like it felt like the equivalent of like, you know, the meme that goes, I have purse. That's how I felt. And it was a little awkward. Side note, Tortured Poets Department. Can we give it a round of applause? And I want to break into talking about the Eras Tour. Okay. So let's finish with this family, right? It was so fun. It was great. They are a very beautiful, kind family. And I look forward to maybe spending time with them in the future. I don't know, but it was a fun time. They're very nice people. The Tortured Poets Department. I think I talked about it when it came out. I don't think I did actually because I was depressed and not recording. I listened to the entire album on release day and it took me places, right? It took me places. I have so many thoughts on all of the tracks. I mean, like, I feel like it was so relatable and like a lot of people are not going to get it, right? Like the Black Dog, very specific of like, have you ever had someone where they left their location on and you're like, why are you there? Like I specifically in college dated someone, like take that back. I dated him. He didn't date me, but I thought we were dating. And so therefore slept with other people all the time. And I was like, he's cheating on me. And I just stayed because I was fucking stupid. And I didn't stay. I broke up with him eventually and I would lose my shit on him about it. But you have to learn, whatever. But the Black Dog, I was like, I remember like we were right about to, like it was right before we had like started dating officially because we only dated for like 6 months where he dated me, right? Let's clarify. And I remember I was like sitting in bed and I was checking Snapchat locations and his was in a place that it shouldn't have been. And I was like, the only reason you would be there is to pick someone up or, you know, whatever. And I remember like I reached out to him and he didn't respond. And then like gave me a bullshit excuse for why he couldn't hang out that night, whatever. And I was like, okay. And it didn't move from that location. Snapchat score didn't go up, nothing. I was like, oh, he's fucking some random bitch. And I know about it. And now I know where she's from because he was probably messaging her through Snapchat so that I wouldn't see the text messages later on and like the whole nine yards. And I was like, I hate that. I hate that so fucking much. And it was part of why I'm like, I don't use Snapchat anymore because Snapchat is what you use when you want to cheat, right? Hell no. Also, I'm not 12 anymore. I got Snapchat when I was 12 years old. It's 10 years later. I am not using that. Sorry, not sorry. If you want to talk to me, call me, text me. And if you don't have my number, okay, sorry. So the Black Dog was about that of like having someone's location and like seeing them be somewhere they shouldn't be and being like, but how, like, and now I'm sitting here and I'm dying inside because I know that you're somewhere else that you shouldn't be with someone who's not me. And I know that you're doing something that is hurting me and you don't care. And I was like, oh, I felt that. I felt that one real hard. The first time I listened to it, one of my girlfriends at the time, I had like reached out and was like, okay, we were like live tweeting each other about it. And she was like, I'm just not feeling this. Like, I'm not depressed. I'm in a happy relationship, all the things. And I was like, I'm feeling it really hard. Okay. I think the controversy, air quotes, online from what song is it? Ugh. The song where she's like, I'm having his baby. No, I'm not. But you should see your face, like that one. So cute. Hey, internet, that's like, this is not funny. There are people that are barren that want to have kids and you're making fun of it. No, she wasn't. Okay. Like she probably was recounting a real experience of like maybe having a friend or a family member be like, he fucking sucks, and being like, well, that's tough because we're connected for life now. And then being like, what? And being like, well, we're not. But like, if we were, I love this person, so I want to be, you know, like, whatever. Fuck off. I mean, like, there's sometimes that, like, listen, I'm an advocate for a lot of things. If you don't like the lyric of her song, of just like, so, like, being a singer-songwriter means that you are taking your feelings and your experiences and putting it out there. And like, okay, this person has opened their diary and read an entry, and people being like, that's mean that you had that thought. I get that it's different because it's on a worldwide spectrum and hundreds of thousands of people are listening to this, and that it might offend some people. But if it, like, then don't listen. Then don't listen to it. Easy fix, right? Like, I'm really sorry that you're infertile, but she was not singing this with the intention of hurting you, right? It was part of the experience and the story. And I'd love to know the background, but like, okay, hold on. I gotta kill a spider. And I'm back. So yeah, let me, so high school, I feel so much right now, right? So this album came out, God, like a couple weeks, which I say a couple weeks as if I've been dating this person for a long time. It's been like a month and a half, like week two or three. It was week two, this album came out. And so high school came on and I was like, oh, all right, I love this. Like, I'm feeling this, yes. Cause like, I feel that so hard. Like, I've, you know, been driving, listening to summer 2016 playlists and summer 2014 playlists. And I'm like, there's just this like energy that I didn't get to have as a teenager of like enjoyment of the world before I had responsibilities. And now I have responsibilities. And because I have responsibilities and never got to enjoy the world, I feel like I never will get to. And in dating this person, I'm enjoying my life. I'm enjoying the time that I'm having with them. And I'm like, I feel like I'm enjoying my life for the first time. I'm also on an antidepressant now. Boop, 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 boop. Shout out Wellbutrin. So that also might have an impact, right? We're taking medication. Medicine, babes, raise your hand. Woohoo. And yeah, so high school, I love. And it's just fun and it's silly. And like, who doesn't want to feel like that? You know, like there's such a magic that comes with young love. And, you know, I think about my first love and I thought this guy hung the moon, and I just, all the things that I look back at it now and I'm like, the way that I feel love has changed so much. But like, I never would have been able to like have those experiences that I fantasized about with this guy, of like, he couldn't take me on dates, right? He couldn't, you know, take me to the movies and hold my hand and kiss me in the back seat of the car. And now I'm dating someone who, you know, I go on a walk with and dances with me in public and in my kitchen and kisses me when nobody's looking and squeezes my hand under the table when people are looking, and like, all of these little things that I'm just like, how exciting, you know? I think that new love, new liking, you know, new relationships, they all fall into that bucket of like, they all have this magic that you really only get there. And I will say, I do think that there's also a really, really great, more like matured and comfortable, safe element that comes with like time in relationships that you don't get early on. Because early on, there's also a lot of anxiety of like, I'm going to be so fucking for real right now. I could not get him out of my house fast enough this morning. He spent the night after our date. Again, we're not having sex, just in case you were wondering. But he spent the night. And this was the first time that we got to like, just hang out and like snuggle in bed and make breakfast and have a lazy morning. Mind you, we knew that like, okay, I got to get ready by a certain time so that I can be there by noon, because you're telling me that it starts at noon and you've got to go home and you've got to, you know, all the things. And I, around like 10 o'clock, I was like, I've got to start getting ready, because like, I've got to leave in like an hour. I need to shower. I need to recurl my hair. I learned how to curl my hair using a curling iron. I'm 24 years old and I didn't know how to curl my hair with a curling iron. And I just picked it up and like guessed, and it worked. I think I've just watched enough people curl their hair on the internet to like just be like, okay, like done. But it looks like shit now because he braided my hair while I was there, which is another perk. All right, you want to talk about fanny flutters? he just walked up behind me and started like massaging my neck, which I was like, your mom is staring at me right now. Like, is your family like okay with this type of thing? Like, I don't know. Cause my family would be like, right? Cause they're anti-PDI. And he like started kind of like sectioning my hair into thirds. And I was like, what are you doing? And he just didn't say anything. And then suddenly my hair was in a braid. He was like, do you have a ponytail? It's like, no. And his mom was like, oh, let me go grab one. Hold on 1 second. And they were like, wow, that's like a really good braid. And it was a beautiful braid. And he was like, it's not my best. It's like, okay. And I, that shit. Oh, I don't know. It did something to me. I thought it was so hot. What was I talking about? I don't remember what I was talking about. Genuinely. Taylor Swift. So yeah, with time, the love and relationship deepen and they get safer. I remember, sorry, friends, that took us a minute, but we got back to it. So this morning when he was at my house, when you're in a new relationship, there's a lot of, you know, anxiety of like all the things. He farted in front of me for the first time. If you're listening right now, I love that you trust me. I love that you're comfortable. And I told him, I do not plan on farting in front of you ever. Okay. Never. I will hold it until I die if I have to, or it accidentally slips out of me because like, I don't know. There's just like a certain level of like, I don't feel comfortable. Like I grew up in a family that was like, girls don't poop or fart. Right. I thought that you got to a certain age as a woman, you just stop shitting altogether. Cause that's what I was told. Girls don't poop or fart. And I was like, I be pooping all the time. It fucked me up. I think we've talked about it. Anyways, he's like lollygagging leaving and is like, no, but I want to like dance with you and like play in the kitchen and like all the things. And I felt it crumbling and I was like, I have to shit so bad. And I haven't shit in 2 days. And I was like, you've got to leave. You need to leave right now. I was like, why? I was like, because it's, I got to take a shower. I got to get ready. I've got to do my makeup. I've got to do the whole thing. Right. And like, you've got to go home. You've got things you have to do. And he was like, you're right. Whatever. I'm like talking to him as he's leaving. He's tying his shoes, whatever. And I'm like, I'm about to shit my pants. I thought I was going to shit myself. Truly, truly. And the minute I was like, okay, goodbye. I slammed the door shut and sprinted for my life because it's brand new. I can't poop or fart. Okay. He can't know that I function like a normal human being. There's an air of mystique. So I will say I'm about to get my period. So I can't talk about how I look right now because I looked at my ankles today and I wanted to have a full blown meltdown and I can't tell if it's water retention or what, but I feel like I look like a swollen balloon right now. Hate it. But I started Wellbutrin. And the past couple days I've been like, I'm really sweaty. Like I'm out in public and my armpits are like drenched. Like I'm having beads of sweat dribbling down my arm. Like I literally was sitting there like wiping my armpit sweat into my moisture wicking dress. Cause I was like, it's just my armpits. It is just my armpits. And they are so sweaty. And here's the thing. It's 60 degrees outside. I shouldn't be sweaty. Like I have no reason at all. And I was like, that's crazy because the past couple years I've not been like, unless it's really hot outside, I haven't had this issue of sweating. Like the past 3 years, like I, as a kid, I was such a sweaty kid in college. I was so sweaty, all of the things. And I was like, is it the medication? And I like Googled the side effects of Wellbutrin. And excess sweating is one of them. And I'm like, okay, so great. So this makes me feel like I am not as anxious. It helps me overcome a lot of mental barriers and like all of these things. And it's such a great tool, but it makes me so sweaty. Fuck. I'm going to keep taking it, but fuck. Shit. You know, you win some, you lose some. So that's that. Back to Taylor Swift. Let's talk about the Eras Tour because I can talk about it here. Right? We love it. So some of the songs were removed. And I thought there was some great discourse online where people were like, it makes sense now. Like the theories of like, oh, she's going to change the show. Like, why would you film it and put it on a streaming platform if you still have a full year of tours left? Like, you're going to be performing this over and over again. You just gave it to me at home that I can access with my subscription. That's weird. She changed the fucking tour. And I love it. I love it so much. So we have a Tortured Poets Department set. She removed a bunch of songs. She combined Folklore and Evermore, which makes sense. Honestly, I mean, they are like a joint album, in my opinion. So I think it works really well. The Tortured Poets Department set is so fucking good. The memes about Travis Kelce being a boy with a friendship bracelet in a dream 10 months ago, and now having his own performance on the iconic Taylor Swift Eras Tour, because So High School is about him, and she includes So High School in the performance. It's so crazy. I love it. It's amazing. And I'm like, honestly, she goes. Good for her. And I was talking to a girlfriend while I was listening to it, where it was like, you know, the when I heard I Can Do It With a Broken Heart, that was like, I played that on repeat for days. But I was thinking about it and I was like, you know, Taylor had talked about how after the tour, you know, like after a performance, she lays in bed and does not get up except to go to the bathroom and has to have food brought to her and like all that for a full 24 hours, just doesn't get out of bed. And then they were like, oh, so now she's dating Travis. And like the day after the tour, she's going, you know, to the zoo. And I was talking to somebody about it and I was like, oh my God, like she was depressed. Of course, she's not going to tell this interview like, I'm fighting for my life because my mental health is in the drain because the man that I loved for 6 years, who I've given my youth to and my life to and who I built a life with, just like this just ended. Of course she was depressed. Of course she needed to rot. Taylor, I support your rotting in bed. I love that. And I love that we're getting to see her blossom out of it. And also I think part of it too is like, the more she does it, the more natural it becomes to perform for that amount of time and in that way. So, but yeah, it's so exciting and I love it. The new costumes. Oh my God. Oh my God. Gag me. Amazing. The 1989 outfits are so cunty. They're so good. They're two colors. They're different shoes. I mean, it's just, it's so fun. And I think that's something that I really love about Taylor Swift is like, I feel fun with like her music and the girlhood that it connects me to. And I, you know, last summer was so deep in it. And I'm like, and I'm going to keep being because I love it. And it makes me feel connected to my girlhood. It makes me feel connected to like other women who've had similar experiences. So I think that's amazing. I don't have anything else. I had stuff that I wanted to talk about, but Taylor Swift was most of it. So I love you all so much. Thank you for being here. Thank you for supporting. Don't forget to like and subscribe. You can check us out everywhere at Long D Friends Pod. You can email us at longdfriendspod@gmail.com. Leave in the comments below if you want to have a, I don't know, should I interview this guy? We'll wait. We'll wait a bit, but he does want to be interviewed. So, all right. Love you guys. Bye.